know what the theme is this week. Bazinga. That's correct. Anyways, that's not exactly what Father Joel do, but Father Joel, we're here from St. Stephen the Carpenter, our camp priest. Say hello.
Hello. I'm sort of off center here because I want to be able to access the board. Can everybody see the board okay over there?
We need to move.
I'll try that. I mean, if you want to move over this way, you can. There are seats available. It's up to you. It's up to you. But I'll try to engage this side as well as this side. All right. Well, let's open in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Heavenly King, Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, Giver of Presence, filling all things, Treasure of Blessings, Giver of Life, come abide in us, cleanse us from every impurity, and save our souls, everyone. Lord Jesus Christ, our God, we ask your blessing upon this talk, upon this teaching. Pray that you would prepare all of us for what you wish to show us about what love is by how you love. And pray that that all that is said and all that is learned would be to your glory, the building up of your kingdom, the building up of the kingdom in the hearts of each one of the campers here. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Luke already reminded you all of what the theme is, and which is what is love, and yeah, in parentheses, baby, don't hurt me. But also we have the verse. Anybody remember the verse? That's important.
I think it's, for now, I see a reflection as you're there. Then they put in face to face. But then these three are left.
Yes. Very good. Yes. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Yeah. And now by faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And now this week we have a really great lineup of speakers from a lot of different experiences. Speakers coming from a lot of different experiences, speaking on different aspects of what love is. Some of the themes that we looked at will be why is love the greatest commandment? How to love even when you don't feel like it. The story of love in the life of the Theotokos, and how love is always necessarily about serving, about going out. So all those things are going to be touched on this week. My job today, to start things out, is to intro the theme. And I think one of the most important things that I hope can help kind of set the tone for, that throughout the week, you can start to pick up more and more information to help equip you, is to really address that question and get thinking about the idea of love and how maybe it's presented to you, or maybe how you've understood it, by whether that be by something in the media. Even advertisements have love in it all the time. And maybe what the world is trying to tell you about what love is versus what God tells us that love is by His Word and by His action. And do those two worlds ever meet? Or are we faced with a decision we have to make? And to begin to think then critically about how, when you're presented with an idea of love in the world, to be able to kind of filter that through, to kind of arm you with some good knowledge, some scripture, to be able to arm you to be able to look critically at it. and know whether or not that's something you want to take into your heart and live, or whether that's something you want to reject when the world presents you with ideas of love. So this week, with all the different angles and ways of looking at it and exploring, I hope that ultimately it will equip you all to better know how to answer the question, what is love? And in knowing what love is and maybe what it isn't, help you know what kind of love to pursue and to live, and then what kind of love to reject, or at least be skeptical of, and not take at face value. So Luke mentioned last night that love is a word that is everywhere. Last night I was looking up even the question, even if you had Googled what is love, and of course one thing you get is the YouTube of that song. But the other thing was that there was one article that said, you know, that really, for the strict biologist, you know, that says that all we are is, you know, our physical selves, that, you know, that we're animals basically, that love is central to that because it has to do with the continuation of the species. So love is central even for the strict biologist because it's involved in procreation. For the psychologist, for the strict psychologist, love is central because love helps construct and form how we think and see and view everything. So this idea of love is central to that even. And then to the storyteller, or to the person who loves story or art, love is central to that because it is at the center of every great story. So love is everywhere. But what is it? Because it can't mean all of these things at the same time. So that's what we're going to look at now. So I was going to ask you all if you could name some, either from like songs. I think songs would be a good place to start, or you can think of even just a phrase. Don't go to advertisements yet. That's next. But any songs or lyrics you can think of, just. And not scriptural songs too, that have love in them. Yes, Daniel. Lady Gaga song. What did she say? Give me some lines about love. Do you love me? Until you love me?
Yeah.
What's... Okay. Okay, so even like an idea of until you love me, like, there are a lot of songs like that. Like, I'm going to make you love me. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you to love me. Sort of an idea like that. So, like, I'll just put "Until You Love Me" to remind us of that. Yeah. Your love never fails. Okay. That one's going to be a reminiscence right here. So, but it can still show up in "Love Never Fails." Some of these may be in both lists, which is good.
Yeah, Jack Johnson song, Baby I Love Those Shoes.
Baby I Love Those Shoes. There we go, now we're getting something. Okay, Baby I Love Those Shoes. Baby, there's a lot of baby in these songs, right?
I think
the baby is that twist. I love. I don't know if that's full size.
Okay. Ain't Nothing About You and Last Day On.
What do those say? What kind of things about love?
Last Day Alive, the song. I was listening to the lyrics, and it says, "I will never leave you alone. I'll be there for you." And then for Ain't Nothing About You, it's talking about everything that you love about this woman.
Okay. So things I love about you, right? Okay.
The song name is called Ain't Nothing.
Okay. About you. I'll probably put lines on here about what love, what is about love in the song. So,
Last Day of Life.
Things I love about you. often towards whoever the object of love is. In any of the songs, does it ever seem like, well, we'll get to this. Is the person's motives always pure? Not necessarily. Okay.
Well, I was going to draw the lyrics off of this. Love will not betray
you. Oh, right. Love will not betray you, dismay, or enslave you, will set you free. I'll write all of that.
Might as well trace it. You're
addicted to love. Perfect. We'll do a few more and then, yes.
Love is all you need.
All you need is love.
All you need is love.
Why did they sing that and break up?
Yeah. All you need is love, right? A lot of heartbreak songs are about love. A lot of songs about losing love, and I can't go on living without your love. And got a few more back. Okay, two more real quick, and we'll move on to the. I lost the love I loved the most. Okay. All right, one more.
Love bites.
Yeah. Def Leppard. Love bites. Love stings. Love is a battlefield. Love is a battlefield. Love stings. Love bites. Yeah. Anger about love. Anger about loss of love. I'm done with love. Bob Dylan's song. I'm sick of love. I wish I'd never met you. Okay, so it goes all over the board. Okay, so real quick here then, what are some love question marks that you hear in advertisements? Somebody's trying to sell you something that you love.
You just love this product?
Yeah. You'll love this new product. It's gonna.
I'm loving it.
I was hoping something would
happen. Yeah. E-Harmony. Christian Mingle.
I'm loving it. You'll love this. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Whatever that means. Okay, so love is thrown around there a lot, even within advertisements. Try to, you'll love this if you do this. People, what about, love, I think there's a product like love my hair, love my nails, or something like that. I don't know. It's all over the place. So let's keep all those kind of things in mind a little bit. Let's switch gears now. Let's maybe move over to this side. So if we turn to Scripture then, love is also found in Scripture a lot. A couple of different numbers I saw were, I think, 314 times in Scripture, but then if you include all of the different kind of forms of the word love, it can be up to like 500 times where love shows up in Scripture. And can anyone think of love in Scripture? Throw it all out.
God is love.
God is love. Wow, I was going to build up to that one. And now
we're well, that escalated.
It did. God is.
Really?
It is. God is love.
Love is patience. Love is kind.
Love is patient. Love is
kind.
It goes on into the reverse.
1 Corinthians 13, basically. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envy. Love is not boast.
God so loved the world.
God loved the world. Loves the world. You can just say them out. There are a lot of hands up. So
just you show you our disciples. You love one another.
Love one another.
Love your enemies.
Ah, there we go. Love your anyone else.
Christ, don't love the wrong reason.
Yeah, Christ died on the cross. It's that we know what love is by. Yeah.
Greater love has no man than this.
Greater love lay down his life. Anybody know what the very first, one of the first words that God gave to his people? He gave to Moses to tell to the people when Moses went to the mountain and God explained to Moses, showed Moses what he wanted to tell the people about who he is and about who they are. It was about that relationship. What was
love the Lord God with all your heart.
Yeah, it's exactly. Hear, O Israel. Yep. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6:4. So right at the beginning, one of the first words that God gives about saying who he is and who the people are, who his people are, was, these are the ordinances and the judgments of the Lord that the Lord commanded the children of Israel in the desert when they came from the land of Egypt. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God from your whole heart, from your whole soul, and from your whole power. So these words I command you today shall be in your heart and in your soul. You shall teach them to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You will bind them as a sign on your hand, and it shall be immovable before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Deuteronomy 6:4, and then through 9. So it's pretty important. That sounded pretty important, right? Not only will you know it in your heart, not only are you to remember this, but you are to tell your children this. This is your legacy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, your mind. And this is the first word that God gives. Love the Lord. So Deuteronomy 6:4. And then I know that Father James is going to touch on the why it is the greatest commandment. But what then does Christ say? Christ quotes this, and he calls it what? He calls it the greatest commandment, right? So it's fulfilled then, and we know that when Christ says that, it's fulfilled in him. He says, these are the, and the second greatest commandment is what?
Love your
neighbors yourself. So we already got that. Sure. Love your neighbor.
If you love me,
keep my commandments.
So I'm just going to put keep my commandments.
I'm going to give you, if we have time, a list at the end of a whole bunch of scriptural verses that deal with love. And those are good ones to memorize and to know. I'm really impressed because you all knew more scripture verses than you knew pop cultural versions of love. I didn't know what I have a note in here. It's like, tell them they better know as more scriptures about love than they do songs or ads. And you already passed the test, so that was good. So as I just said, the talk of love in scripture begins way back with what God told Moses to tell the people about who he is and about who they are, about who they are to live. The story of love appears again and again and culminates in Jesus pointing out clearly that this is the greatest commandment. To love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. To love your neighbor as yourself. In the hundreds of times that love is used in Scripture, it always carries with it the greatest importance. In 1 John 4:8, it says that, let me find it here on the papers. Thank you. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. And then 1 John 3:16 through 18, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So this one word that we use, which is given so much importance and is so central, as we said before, is everywhere. And I actually have friends who are atheists who will still say love is a central virtue. They'll say, well, of course we, you know, we're supposed to love. But ultimately, then, if we look at these lists, and this isn't exhaustive at all, we have a lot of different versions of what love is. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, how are we defining it? It's really easy to just say, well, love is all you need. You know, like the Beatles did. All you need is love. It sounds good. It feels good. What, you know, well, we can just, everybody just love each other. But what if the definition that one person is using for love means how you feel about a hamburger versus shoes. Right. If one definition of love is how you feel about someone's shoes. If another definition of love is how you feel about your hamburger. If another definition of love is that it is an attribute of the very creator of the universe. Those are really different things, aren't they? They're vastly, vastly different things. Right. So, if we look at this, then we have to admit that, Houston, we have a problem. Or maybe we have a crossroads. Maybe what that is a crossroads. We have a decision we have to make when we hear the word love. When love is presented to us, we have to know what it is, and we have to decide. And I hope that this week, throughout all these talks, that it will ultimately be helpful for all of you in understanding this, because really, and as you get older, and you have decisions you have to make in your life, really how you understand love, what is the source of it, and how you receive it affects then how you give love. I'll say that again. How you understand love, what is the source of love, and how you receive love affects how you give love. And really, decisions you make that are based around love will be some of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life. So it's really important to know what you're basing that on, what you're basing those decisions on. If we look at how you are loved, meaning how you understand and receive love, from the scriptural understanding of it, we look at God loves the world. It begins with God as the source. He is love. He loved the world. We know what love is because of Christ's death on the cross for us. So what does that tell us about, what does that tell us about how we receive love? Anyone?
Sacrifice.
Okay. We received it by Christ's sacrifice for us. You think of, yeah? Okay, so it's a gift, right? Love is something that God gave freely to us.
For us giving love to other people, we need to have to for that, because of what Christ left to us in order to give us.
Right, and that gets into, if we understand how we actually receive love, then we know then we can work on learning and how to give it, how to give love. Because there are a lot of really screwed up versions of love out there. where love is connected with manipulation, where love is connected with power, where love is connected with obsession. Right, you can see that in some of the lyrics we're looking at. There's an objectification there's the object that you are really, more you're trying to possess rather than self-give. But if we don't understand how we receive love, first of all, then we can't understand how to, yeah, Brother James.
I was just thinking as you spoke that a lot of people think of the love of God in those terms, which is really blasphemous.
Yeah.
They think that we're the object of God's love.
Right.
They objectify us in God's eyes, and that is just so wrong.
Yeah. If anyone couldn't hear that, Father James was saying that even there are even really blasphemous understandings of God's love that turn it into that kind of objective, that you know we are an object, and that God objectifies us rather than it being participation in His love, in His life, that He freely gives us. He freely gives us to participate in. So from the examples that we've seen, we kind of have already touched on this a little bit. From the world's perspective, where does love come from? What's the source? And this would be a lot of different answers, because it's from the world's perspective? Think about you're right in the scriptural. The source is God. Okay, feelings. Yeah. So, the source can be how you feel. You feel you're in love. So you act in love because of how you feel. So the source is really inside you, right? Anything else?
Yeah. Hormones in your brain.
Hormones in your brain. In your brain.
And your brain.
Sometimes connected, sometimes disconnected.
Right.
Yeah.
Passions.
Passions. Okay. Okay, your heart. And then the question is, what is your heart? You know, follow your heart. Which isn't an all bad thing if you know what your heart is, you know, and which has to do with knowing what love is. So we've got passions, hormones, feelings. Any other sources for love?
Shoes.
Shoes, material. Material things. Actually. What's that?
My feet.
Right.
Love there.
Material things, though, can be sort of presented as sources of love. Sometimes, I think obsession was said over here, but also what's the word? I lost it.
Addictions,
and later on, Randy Evans is going to be talking about that false love that is involved with addiction. Unless he changes his mind.
He did change.
He changed his mind. I didn't talk about that. But you're right. When an addiction can become confused with love because it's a strong feeling, it's a strong need. So we have a lot of, you can see a scattered view of what love is. It isn't very clear, is it, from the world's perspective, right, of what love is. Does anyone have a clear picture from what was presented in the world about what love is, about what it is, and where its source is? It's not clear. It's all over the board. Now, what about from the scriptural perspective? We said the source is very clear. It's God. So if God is the source of love, we know what love is through the most perfect image we have of what love is the work of Christ. In his love for us by becoming man, by dying on the cross for us, we can see clearly what that is, and that it is self-sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to live that, but it's a clear source. It's a clear understanding. So we have one source here, and we have multiple sources over here. kind of got into this before, but in some of the world's perspectives of love, what is the payoff for the one who loves?
Eating the hamburger.
Getting what you want, right?
Happiness.
Right, a happiness, even if it's not lasting. But, you know, you're made happy. You're made to feel better. Anyone else?
Physical pleasure.
Okay, yeah. Pleasure, all those things. From the scriptural perspective, if God gave us love freely, and we are to give it then freely in self-sacrifice, is there always an immediate payoff that we see? Are we giving love so we get something? That's my question. No, right? So it's a different thing. It's you're giving love because you are imitating God who loves us. And so there's not always immediate payoff, but is there eternal payoff to it though? It's actually participating in the very life of God, which is lasting and isn't just a fleeting moment. So we've looked at there are two ways of understanding love, and maybe before we open up for some questions, I always want to leave each talk with some challenges, some things to try to put into practice. And first is a list of scriptures to have in mind that are really good to actually memorize and to think about anytime you're faced with this question of love. And a lot of you will face even questions of love in decisions you'll make about relationships of love that you might enter into. And if you're called to it, ultimately, for some of you, even marriage down the road. And it's critically important to ask the question, is this relationship with this person, is it cultivating the kind of love that God calls us to? Because marriage, as it's intended, is there to help cultivate that. You sacrifice for the other person, and it is actually there for your salvation. And when you're in a relationship with another person, it's important to ask the question, is the other person on that same page? Are they dedicated to striving towards the concept that striving towards love as God intends it, not as the world presents it? Is it just about feelings? Is it just about, you know, getting what you want? Or is there something deeper and more eternal that you're striving for? And so I'll give you a list of scriptures on the board here. I'll try to do this quick. By the way, when I got here, I had to erase something on the board, and it said, it said, "Hola, chicos." That's okay. And then it said, "Jesus loves you all, but he loves me just a little more." That's not.
I think that's trying to say otherwise.
What's that?
I like the Hola Chicos better.
I like the Hola Chicos is fine. Okay, so here are some verses to arm yourself with, so to speak.
1 John 4:18-19, which is, there is no fear in love. John 15:13, Colossians 3:14. These aren't all of them. I'm not going to write all 314 verses. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. Proverbs 17:17.
1 John 3:16 through 18. 1 John 4:8.
John is all about love.
Yes, John is all about love. 1 John 3:16.
I've never heard that one before.
Matthew 22:37-39, and
let's see if I have any more here. Put Deuteronomy 6:4 on there as well.
That's not all of them, but if you look those up and learn those and take those into your heart, it'll help you to have in mind when you're faced with, when the word love is used, and you're someone's trying to convince you that that is love, and you can check it with those scriptures and say, does this line up? Does this make sense with the definition that God gives of love? And so back to the theme verse. It says, we see in a mirror dimly. You know, when Paul says that, he's saying that what we see now, and maybe even how we see love now, is always going to be kind of a struggle. It's always going to be a struggle because we're not going to quite be able to see it clearly. We're always going to have to struggle to love as God loves us. But what an amazing thing that it says, though. Now I know in part. I don't have it right yet. You know, I'm still working on it. But then I shall know just as I also am known. And although now I see it in a mirror dimly, imperfectly, I'm struggling, I'm loving imperfectly, but I'm working towards it. Then I will see face to face. And that tells us that we are already perfectly loved by God. We already are receiving God's love perfectly. He loves us perfectly. Even if we have a hard time receiving it and then showing it to others. But it's worth it. It is absolutely worth it to strive towards that. To look skeptically at the ways that love is presented in the world, and to persevere in sticking with the one who truly does love us more than we can even imagine. That is the end of my talk, but it's about 10 minutes. Are there any questions or follow-ups, anything that didn't make any sense? I may have been all over the board there, but it didn't. Yeah?
Can you address briefly the idea of being in love?
Oh, being in love, yeah.
The question was addressing the idea of being in love. That's a really good one. So to be, what does it mean? How do you understand being when you hear or you feel like you're in love? What is that?
Like you have this unending passion for this.
Unending passion for it.
That sounds bad.
Okay.
I don't know. Like people say, they don't necessarily mean it
seriously. Okay, so it's thrown around, and it's sometimes it's just a crush. It isn't always just with that, but it can be, right?
Well, like, it's kind of like with that. You're willing to do all that to like one person, you're willing to do that back.
Okay. So maybe if we think about being in love through the lens of God's love, But that is possible. It is possible to kind of, if you have feelings or an attraction for someone, you like being with them. That isn't a bad thing. But to place that relationship in prayer and can you give it back up to God and ask for his blessing, and again, is that relationship leading towards things like patience, kindness? Is that what you're growing towards? Because then it truly can be that you are in love, a long-term relationship, a marriage that is truly between two people who are in love, isn't that they're always going to feel that initial, you know, passion. It isn't always there. But to move on to the more mature being in love, it's just as much in love, but it's you are living it. You are living it in action, self-sacrifice for the other. And it actually becomes even that much more rich and rewarding.
I think that there's a difference between being in love and love, because love is a verb. Love is a statement, or not a statement, it's a verb, it's an action being used for somebody. Whereas being in love is like a state,
okay,
which you're in. And so loving takes effort, it's an action that you do. Being in love is a state that you don't really have to do anything, but you are in. So.
Maybe in love is to be better understood as we love and we are loved. But being in love maybe is a state where that is happening, where you are loving and you are being loved. Because you're right, love's not passive. It's life. It's action.
I say sometimes that my wife wants me to love her. Whether I'm in love with her is way down the list compared to she wants me to love her.
Sure.
And there are days we're in love. And yeah, we recognize that kind of feeling or emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Rutgers are in love every day.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
But my wife wants me to love her.
Yeah.
I have a daughter that went through a divorce. She wanted her husband to love her, but he quit being in love. He quit loving her too.
Yeah.
If he ever did. Does that help?
Yeah, that does help.
I don't know if you can say this or not, but the thought that comes up in my mind of being in love is that you see something in the other person that appeals to you.
Okay.
Which is necessary for love to really be.
Okay.
Because he seems to like somebody that satisfies something for you.
Right.
Maybe it's cool. Loving your enemies or something like that, that is where it's a little bit harder. And so
right.
That being in love kind of gets thrown around a little bit.
Yes.
And maybe the true feeling of being in love is that you see another person, their love for God, and therefore you learn from that.
Right.
And that pinpoints into your love for each other.
Yeah.
It's more directed towards God, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And then that helps support the.
Yeah. You're not just. Yeah. And in some ways, the counterfeit wrong way to be in love is you're really just bolstering up or stroking your own ego or what you want, you know what I mean? You want to like about yourself, or that'll help you feel good about yourself. Which, you know, that's the thing is that we talk about love, in love. We only got a couple minutes, but you know, sin is missing the mark. And even understanding these words like love or in love in the wrong way is often, it isn't that it's the opposite. It isn't like it's, the enemy doesn't usually present us with, you know, hate as, you know, but rather it's like, it's mostly good, but it's a little off. You know, it's not evil to like someone. It's not evil to enjoy being with someone But it becomes a sin when they become an object that is fulfilling something for you.
That's why it's a narrow way.
It is, yeah. It is a narrow way. And it's why you got to go back again and again and again to the scriptures. I mean, and have them in your mind. Remind yourself. You know, this is what, you know, memorize that list in 1 Corinthians, you know, and then when you feel love, you're in a relationship, you're anything like that, test it. Is it okay? And is this cultivating any patience, kindness? You know, because if it is, then it's from God. But if it isn't, then you may be going on with that. I think we are out of time. So, thank you all. I pray that it is a blessed week. Like I said, we have a lot of really good speakers. I'm looking forward to hearing. So, may the Lord God bless you. I think we go to counseling groups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Thank you.